going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Below the Belt coming up at 8:40, as we do every single day here on Sean and RJ on the Fan. This was a tough weekend for one Shedeur Sanders in a lot of different ways. Not just with the draft pick, but also with all the other stuff that went down with it, including the prank calls.
Yeah, this was... This is causing a pretty big split, too, I feel like, in terms of reaction for people out there. So Shedeur Sanders had been obviously one of the loudest and most, what would the word be? I don't want to assign the wrong one. I don't want to say arrogant, but he was the most brash prospect in the draft this year, probably, or right near the top. So he probably villainized himself a little bit. With some of the swagger and some of the confidence and things like that. So when he started slipping in the first round on Thursday night, he didn't have a ton of sympathy, I don't feel like, nationally, except for Mel Kiper, who I feel like that was Mel Kiper just trying to protect his own reputation. But when Shedeur fell out of the first round and got to the second round, now people started, I think, feeling like, all right, let's get him picked. And then when it went into day three, it was even worse. Well, at the end of day two, we found out, we started seeing stories around there that Shedeur Sanders had been prank called by somebody posing as a team and that they had essentially tricked him into thinking he was about to be picked in the second round of the draft. And it was on the live stream. It was on Shador's Twitch live stream.
Mm-hmm.
But we got the other end of it the next day because these prank callers were dopey enough to go ahead and put themselves on camera doing this and share it for the world. And this was them prank calling Shedeur Sanders that he was being drafted.
Hey, is this Shedeur? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're gonna take you with our next pick right here, man.
Be nothing to
do. Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God! He bought it!
So, the twist in this is that one of the people responsible, because this is a very... This guy's reading off a sheet of paper when he's calling the number. And this was a number that apparently only NFL teams had access to.
Yeah, so the league, I found out the league gives these players the phone.
Yes.
Do they give it for all, just the first rounder? I mean, they give every draft eligible player a cell phone?
I think a lot of the player, like, I don't think it's every single player, but a lot of the guys that they know are going to be prominently featured, especially if they're going to have cameras on their house, they want them to have a phone in hand. But this was something that drew a lot of divisive opinions on this one. We're already seeing it on the fan text here, but Shedeur Sanders buys that, ends up, it gets seen, it gets crushed a little bit, but the guys that posted this, one of the people in the background, it turns out, is the son of Falcons defensive coordinator and former Jets defensive coordinator and former Jets interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich. And so he has now outed himself as the one who had basically snatched this number. They used it to prank call Shedeur Sanders. There was some questions or speculation that they may have done it with some others. Tyler Warren got prank called, the tight end from Penn State. He got prank called on draft night, but I don't know if they've been able to trace back that it was this right here. But that this caused now a big riff for the Falcons that they're having to deal with. And there's a split opinion on whether this is cruel or whether this is a sensitive society that doesn't have any clue what a prank is supposed to be. So, Chop, where do you fall down ultimately on the discussion of, is this cruel? Is this mean-spirited? Or is it, hey, this is a harmless prank. Nobody should really care that much.
Well, look, it's a harmless prank if it's in, if it's like the fifth pick overall. Right? Let's say that, who was that five?
It was Jacksonville, and then they traded
Jacksonville traded up, right?
Yeah.
So let's say Cleveland. Yeah, it was Cleveland. So let's say Cleveland is on the clock at five. And, you know, this kid calls it and does that. You know, it's you're at number five. That's not a great fall yet. Whatever. I don't feel bad for Tyler Warren the way I do for... That was cruel. You get into the third round, you're expected to go in the top 10, and you've fallen all the way to the third round. Like, that's a mind you know what. That's on the cruel. Now, I love a good prank. I love a good prank. And I've gotten bit by pranks before. And, you know, you gotta take it. You gotta own it. You know, now you can react poorly and have, but you gotta, whatever. You know, you get bit by a prank, you get bit by a prank. But it does border on cruel.
Yeah, and
it does border on cruel. It is cruel. It is cruel.
And there's a lot of, there's already some pushback on the fan text. 903 says, Cooper DeJean got pranked last year and there wasn't this much hoopla about it. Cooper DeJean, that's not even close to the same. Cooper DeJean, whenever he would have gotten prank called, he went in the first round. I believe, or he went early second, one of them. Cooper DeJean was not a guy who was talked about initially as like could be the number one pick. And then it's stunning that he slides all the way out of the first round and then you're taunting him on day two. Like, that's different. Cooper DeJean went 40th overall, but DeJean was thought to be between like 25 and 40.
Yeah. So
there's no, and
it's not a fall yet.
It's a defensive back from, it is not the same. If they're saying it's the same, you're not being honest about the gravity of the position that Shador's in. Now, part of the argument is Shedeur would have brought it on himself, and he has in large part in terms of brought the scrutiny on himself. He's talked about it, embracing it, that, hey, I'm out front, I'm confident, I believe in myself, and that's the position that he has. And so he welcomes whatever criticism comes with that, whatever criticism comes with his confidence. But is there a point where it crosses a line and you say, that's just bleeping mean? And that's ultimately where I fall down on this. I'm not a Shedeur fan. Like, I mean, I am as a player. He's my number one player. I don't like some of the things I've heard about the way he handled his interviews. I don't like the way I've heard he handled some things as a teammate at Colorado. I think there's a lot of entitlement there. I think there's a lot of dismissiveness of people he doesn't view as worthy of his time. And so I'm not a big fan of Shedeur in that sense. I naturally am going to have a little bit of sympathy, though, for somebody who's just nationally spiraling on TV like that.
I did find it odd that he didn't go to the draft. You know, I did find that. I was like, okay, is he not going because he's... Jalen Milroe was there, right? They the announcement that Milroe was going to be there.
Milroe's going to go. I don't remember. I think Milroe actually did attend.
And I was like, is he being told something that he's going to go? And in the same respect, was Shedeur being told something, and that's why he didn't go?
Well, I had wondered if Jackson Dart, that's why Jackson Dart backed out. Because Jackson Dart was invited, and then he backed out a couple days before. And I had wondered if that was, he had been tipped off that he wasn't going to get picked. And then he did.
And he did.
The Giants came back up and got him. But, I mean, this right here, and you've got the story, the statement that Ulbrich's kid had actually made, because he ended up going on social media. He locked his accounts. He went private. That's the other angle of this that we need to talk about, too, is just How stupid can you be?
To record it?
No, I mean, you record it, whatever. But you put it out on social media for everybody to blast into the stressor. And you're not even trying to hide.
No.
Give yourself some plausible deniability. You don't need to just be sitting there in the background like with your head in your hands like, oh my gosh, this is just be the one filming. Stand off camera, dude.
Here's the statement from Jax Ulbrich, who's Ulbrich's kid. On Friday, I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life. And I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you find it in your heart to forgive me. That was his, it looked like it was on an Instagram story from Jax.
Gosh, though. Can you imagine having to make that phone call again? Calling Shador again? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be... You have no idea how that's going
to
be.
And look, Shador didn't have to take the call. He could have easily blown him off.
No, which is good.
Good on him. The Falcons have said they are not going to discipline Jeff Ulbrich, who's their DC now. They're not going to discipline him.
I don't know how you could. I mean, I know it's a family, but I mean, I guess it would just be if you gave him...
If he handed him the, hey, look, here's the
number. Yeah, I don't think he did that. It sounds like he just ran into the number while within the building, but it sounds like it was access that was allowed for his son, like in terms of to be physically in the building to potentially run into that. Not to have the number. That's not allowed. But if he was in a room with his dad, like you're allowed to be with your dad while
he's doing
stuff.
Bring your son to work day.
And the sheet sitting there and the kid just looks down and sees, like, I don't know how you hold Jeff Ulbrich responsible.
It could have been an email that was sent and there's a family email account. Or he has access to his dad's phone.
No,
like my kids can get into my phone. You know, like it could have been something like that. I think Jeff Ulbrich said, "Hey, Jax, this is Shador's number. I'm gonna write this down for you. Why don't you give him a prank?"
Well,
you
know, and
that's probably not what that's. Probably
I mean, the Falcons aren't gonna punish him. They're not gonna do anything about that. But the NFL is, and I don't know what this means. They've said that the NFL is investigating, but I don't know.
It's a breach. It's a breach. Either way, it's a breach.
Right, and so. They'll look into it, but I don't know if that means that they need to investigate to see if there's a punishment that needs to be had here or if there are just security protocols that need to be tightened or whatever else it is. The biggest security protocol that needs to be tightened, though, is that kid's phone. Like, I just don't know how dumb you can be to publish that on social media, be in the video. There's so many aspects of that are just stupid and make absolutely no sense to me, but... some of the reaction on the Frankel and Frankel injury attorneys fan text, it was supposedly on an iPad. It got left, a tablet got left open on his dad's table, and he just looked and saw it. 214, nothing wrong with disliking Shador, in my opinion. However, there's a problem in this country with absolutely hating people who've never done anything to us personally and who we've never met. It's telling. That's from AD from the OC. Somebody says, this is an employment call. This is from the 703. This is an employment call. What if you were waiting to hear back about a life-changing job and some idiot stole your number and called you to say you got the job? It's wrong. It's mean. 205, I think you were confusing confidence with arrogance. Sanders did this to himself.
Well, and that look, the fine line between confidence and arrogance obviously is in play here, but that's also subjective. It's, you know, whether he's confident or arrogant is subjective to each person.
Oh, I think 100% Shador brought a lot of his drop on himself. I think Shador also sounded a little reflective and that he kind of understood that this past weekend and maybe would have done some things differently. He can bring all that on himself. He did not bring on himself a phone call.
Phone call's different.
Taunting him when he had clearly already kind of been humbled by the experience.
Yep.
214 says the prank was hilarious. So there you go.
Well, look, it could also be funny and cruel at the same time. Like, you could find it to be very, very cruel and something that you would never do yourself or scold the heck out of your kids for, but also objectively find something funny. I think you can do both.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't find this like that funny. Because they were just frat boy, kids that you probably don't like anyway.
Yeah,
you know, there's probably that's Ole Miss. That's Ole Miss in a room right there.
It's funny to them because they're sitting there. They're like, oh my gosh, we got him to believe. Like that's what's funny. It's not generally funny. I don't think. But
yeah, Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan, Below the Belt, coming up at 8:40. Stars Avs tonight. Potential must win. Series tied at 2. That's a must win as far as I'm concerned. We'll talk about that. And I got some more trip notes to get into next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
4-0 tonight in Game 4, Colorado. And Mackenzie Blackwood gets his first career Stanley Cup playoff shutout. 23 saves on 23 star shots.
Stars lose Game 4. That's courtesy of Victory Plus. They are tied at 2 games apiece. Got a little, you know, more European vacation trip talk coming up here in a second. But Jake Rietma going to join us right now on 105 in the Fan. You.
I know. I got to be careful. I got to be careful laughing around here. Yeah, Peyton's going to clip it, and then I'll just be.
It's not the laugh. You've laughed plenty of times before. It was the over laugh to Sean's joke. That was the problem.
The worst part was my girlfriend, Sydney, confirmed it. She was like, yeah, what were you doing? And I was just like.
I think you literally slapped your knee. Like,
you did. The over laugh.
I thought it was funny.
Will you be in the building tonight?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like a little later of a puck drop, so more time for the media meal. I might go 2 or 3 rounds through the buffet, but dialed in, and I know the AAC will be electric. Dallas Stars.
All right. What has been your take on the first 4 games?
I think just cut to the chase. You would sign up for where the Stars are right now. Pete DeBoer said it. Look, you're a little bit shorthanded, figuratively here, literally as well. But without guys like Miro, without Robo, you would sign up to be tied at 2, 3-game series with home ice advantage. You'd absolutely take that. And I thought the
have they been outplayed like that bad?
Yeah, Game 4. Listen,
Game 4 for sure.
Right. I'll say I thought Game 4 was coming. Game 3 with the Landeskog bump, like you've got the energy in the building. I thought what we saw in Game 4 is what we'd see in Game 3, and then the Stars would respond. You get the same result. It was just in a different order.
Doesn't that just change the flip of the order? Obviously, it's like, oh, you're still 2-2 either way. But isn't there? There's a better feeling, obviously, if you close out the side in Colorado with the victory, and then you're heading in with some momentum.
Yeah, tonight. You certainly don't feel good coming home after getting absolutely taken care of 4-0.
Even though money puck 51%.
Yeah, I heard
closer
that.
Closer than it was because of the power play opportunities and the hits and everything.
Right,
else.
Which I would take from that, the Stars special teams were kind of horrible in Game 4. Not only was the power play bad, but you give up the shorthanded goal, which ultimately changed the dynamics of that opening period.
Well, that's
why
Money Puck looks at the peripherals and just says, this is what you should have done with those opportunities. You should have won.
Yeah. Got to get on my Money Puck.
Yeah, you got to get on your Money Puck.
So, you know, somebody texted in last week and said, I checked out Money Puck last night, and there's some great stuff on there that Bobby just doesn't understand. I don't want to reference it.
Careful, they'll clip that laugh. Careful.
That's a solid laugh. That's a solid laugh,
But
sir.
No, I will say this. I think, and I give a lot of credit to Pete DeBoer. He's been here time and time again, where he just has the ability to keep perspective. I was listening to his off day media availability where he just said, look, like it was almost like the mindset of this is where we want to be. And I have a job to get these guys ready for game five in your own building, a total refresh. And he said, sometimes when you play as poorly as you did in game four, it forces you to look in the mirror and take a total refresh into this game five. So I fully anticipate that mindset from the Stars tonight.
Jake Rietma. Thank you, man. Enjoy the game.
Absolutely. Go Stars.
Rangers and Athletics tonight. 7:05 first pitch here. That game right here at 105 through the fan. We are the home of Rangers baseball.
Boy, you know what's really like just a weird oddity that probably doesn't matter too much? Because I'm not even saying that they've clearly played some games at home, but do you know that this will be... They have not played any team outside of the West Coast time zone since April 9th. And they won't play somebody from outside the Western time zone again until May 6th. They're basically going to go an entire month of playing West Coast
games. That's a quirk.
Now, obviously, they're in the AL West. They're also
but still, it's quirk.
Yeah, it's been Seattle, Angels, Dodgers, A's, Giants, A's, Mariners. And then they'll finally get Boston.
Wow. That's interesting. That's late games.
Patrick Corbin supposed to start tonight, though.
He's actually been pretty decent.
He's not been bad.
Much better. Considering what he's been the last, 2 years, he's not been bad this year.
But I think he's still... He's still what you expect. I think there was a couple starts ago where he was really good. He got 6 strikeouts. He was really solid for you. Only gave up 1 run. But I think overall, yeah, he's not going to miss a lot of bats. He's going to give up some home runs. He's going to walk some guys. He's not going to, have high strikeout numbers. You just need somebody to eat innings to protect the rest. There's something to be said about a guy who protects the rest of your rotation and can give you spot starts and can make sure that guys are pitching on normal rest and can give you those innings and can save your bullpen. There is absolutely a place for a pitcher like Patrick Corbin who just protects your bullpen and protects your rotation.
We need there's value in innings.
Yeah.
There's value
and
in
he
innings.
And he will give you that. If nothing else, he will give you innings. He's got a rubber arm.
He really does. All right. So 7:05 first pitch pregame at 6:30 right here on 105 through the fan. These are my trip notes, Bobby, that I took. Look at that.
That was actually just one scroll, but
it was just
it was very
scroll.
Small print. It was very small print, though.
Very small font. I'm going to say this here. So I went to Switzerland.
Well,
Sarah and I went to Switzerland and then Italy for our honeymoon. You cannot, you should not, I don't care what the cost is. You should never fly overseas anyway other than business class. Ever.
Why?
I can't imagine flying 12 hours in a regular, in a seat. I couldn't imagine doing it. I couldn't imagine doing it. I don't care if you want to call me bougie or whatever. I told Sarah, I was like, I don't want to spend the money on business class. She goes, we have to. We have to lay flat. She goes, I can't do this. I was like, all right, fine. Let's do it. It was totally worth it.
And you know why you can afford to do that? Because you're a guy who gets Google results.
I get Google results. It was not as expensive as we thought. They have 3 ways. You could do regular economy, and they have a premium, which is like a regular domestic first class seat, and then they have the lay flat. I talked to her and I was like, let's do the premium economy so we don't just spend all that much. It's not much more. And then for whatever reason, the business class wasn't that expensive. So I was like, let's do it. We're kind of in the same money range with both. Let's just do it. It is such a game changer. Sell your car if you have to. Sell your car for the week. If you've got to do that, buy a new one when you come back. Whatever you have to do.
Rent it, lease it, not sell it, right?
Just sell your car outright and then buy it back if you have to. Whatever you got to do to get the cash to do. It's so worth it. Donate a working kidney. whatever you have to do, you've got to do. I don't know how you do it otherwise. So that's part one.
Can I ask you a real quick question?
Yeah.
Seriously, since you just made the joke about it. What medical donation are you most willing to make in exchange to get some quick cash?
Ooh.
Is it the blood?
Blood is easy. Plasma.
I don't want to donate the manliness because...
Oh, that goes into...
I don't know where that's going.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, blood. Blood's an easy one. Just donate blood every day for...
Yeah, they got to be my type already. Right. So it's guaranteed to be limited and helpful probably.
I consider people who are my blood type to be good people.
But do you feel bad for making money off of somebody really needing
No, I don't.
Type?
I don't. Okay. But, whatever you got to do. I'm serious. Whatever you got to do. Peyton, I don't know if you noticed this. Everything is hot over there. Like, they don't believe in air conditioning. It was 55 degrees outside. It's like they cranked the heat on.
No, they don't believe it. You go inside a restaurant, it's better. You're better off maybe sitting outside with a little breeze going on because it is hot everywhere. You're lucky your hotel had AC because sometimes that
I don't think it did. We had the doors open. The windows open.
And I went in July. It was hotter there. Oh, it was awful.
You talked about this with the Paris Olympics too, didn't you? Like, this was a big story where they had to like get all these AC units in there because people were like, no.
It's just not a thing. And it's gets up to, they said it gets up to 40 degrees there. It's like Celsius. So whatever that is, 103.
Yeah.
I know. You just see the whole thing.
This is why we
different over there.
Like, and then you don't put ice in the water at the restaurant.
Nothing.
It's like, dude, come on.
Still water.
Help me out.
They give you the still. They said, do you want water? Still? And then they charge you $5. Switzerland is so expensive. It is absurdly expensive. $7 for water. They give you a.
Doesn't sound very neutral of them.
It doesn't. When their wine pours. We calculated them out because they have lines on them and it says like 10 CL, which is centiliters, or DL, deciliters. And we calculated it out to like 3 ounces. It's like a 3 ounce pour for wine, which is very small. It's supposed to be like 5.5. The plugs, Peyton, those plugs.
Yes. Do you have mine?
I didn't unpack. It's in the suitcase.
It doesn't matter.
They're awful.
Oh, the chargers.
Yes. The plugs that you have to use for the wall, like, they're terrible. Terrible.
Was it the same in Switzerland too?
Yeah, it's all. Okay. I think it's all your. It is. Zurich is such a quiet city. You walk down, you don't hear anything, but it's busy. It's busy. It's just very quiet. That was. I loved it. I loved Zurich. I thought Zurich was fantastic. Absolutely, except for the price. It's cost. It's expensive. A pizza there is like $35.
Jeez,
you can't find. It's like
$35 or 35 euros or whatever.
35 euros.
Geez,
so that's like 40.
Yeah.
It's super expensive. But then you go to Italy, and that same pizza is $9. €9.
Mm.
Like, Italy's very inexpensive.
Is it like how you've run into before with like the bourbons you like, where just regionally it's more expensive because of access?
Yeah, maybe. By the way, it was very hard to find whiskey over there. Like, it was all, like, it's just not a thing. It was very hard. Every restaurant had like one or two types of whiskey. The beer was great. The beer was fantastic. I don't drink a lot of beer anymore. I thought the beer was tremendous.
Did you take any to-go wine with you? I know they let some restaurants in Italy let us take.
Yeah.
They just put a cork on it and said, you're free to go.
We took like, they call it takeaway. They call it takeaway. Not to-go. We took a lot of like takeaway alcohol, to-go alcohol, whatever. I thought it was like, because I like walking cities. They're easy cities to walk, and the public transportation is tremendous. The only American car I saw over there was like a Tesla. I didn't see a single American car.
Really?
I saw car brands I'd never heard of. I hadn't seen a Peugeot in 25 years. They were there, but I didn't see
a
Peugeot. The only American car, literally, I think I saw one Ford Mustang.
Wow. I mean, I guess it would make sense just because of, like, I mean, a lot of the auto manufacturers are going to be overseas anyways.
Italy's like Mexico.
Are you about to diss your people?
What?
Are you about to diss your people?
Italy is like Mexico with better marketing. I had guys coming up to me, hey, what's up, my man? And they go to like shake my hand and they're trying to grab me, pull me in and pick my pocket. Some guy tried to knock Sarah's phone out of her hand.
You guys were kidnapped by the cartel, I assume.
Kidnapped by the cartel. But, man, it's just, I loved Italy, but, like, it's totally different. Like, Switzerland is, like, super clean and very safe. In Italy, you're walking around, like, with your arms over your bags to make sure that, you know, they don't pick your pocket.
So you just felt like there was, like, petty crime. But nothing, you didn't feel like, super, because I feel like a lot of people go to Mexico, they feel unsafe.
There's parts of Italy where you feel unsafe. Like, there are parts of Italy where you absolutely feel unsafe. I heard a guy say to one of the other guys, hit the insult. This is the best insult I've ever heard in my life. Now I'm going to start using it. He goes, leak my liver. And I'm like, that's it. That's the best insult I've ever heard.
Leak my liver?
I don't know. They all sound like Marco from Trapulia from movie Taken. Like, everybody over there sound a bunch of honkies with bad tattoos. That's what's filled up with Italy. It's so different. It is so, like, everyone's kind of attractive. Like, there's not really a whole, they're either like these like older, like super old people, or they're like all kind of attractive folk, you know?
Did you notice any like kinship? Like, did you naturally feel like, I'm here in the land of my people, my Italians? Or are the Italians just different than the Americans?
They're just so different. They're so different. Mm. People are just very, very different. I'll tell you this. I didn't see a lot of hats. I did not see a single Cowboys hat over there.
Really?
I saw probably 60 Yankee hats. I made a count. Two Red Sox, two Phillies, a Brewers, a Timberwolves, Cubs, Patriots, Bucks, Dodgers, two Tigers, White Sox. Let's see, a single Cowboy hat. I was stunned.
But that's just a function of, I would imagine, baseball's just more popular in Italy.
It's not football season. That's
it's not football season. It's not football season. You're right. All right, there we go. A little trip notes. What do we have coming up in Below the Belt?
Brian Schottenheimer is nobody's puppet, and this weekend proved it. That's next in Below the Belt, on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Did this weekend just prove that everybody was wrong to say Brian Schottenheimer was a puppet when he was hired in January? I think there's a case to be made that it did do that as we get into Below the Belt here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, does that mean he'll be good? No. He could be a flaming disaster. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, he could also be great. But I think the idea that he's just being having the strings pulled by the Joneses, I think that was pretty much killed this weekend. We're going to get into it. Before we get into it, I need to tell you guys that this week, this Wednesday, we got stop
yes,
number
sir.
Two on the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We're making our way up to Anna. So I mentioned earlier, if you're in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina, anywhere like that, this is probably going to be the Firehouse Tour that you're going to be able to make easiest. So if you want to come out and see us, come on out Wednesday, 6 to 10 a.m. Zach Wolchuk will be there with us. We'll have Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us for the Expressway. We're going to have breakfast from Whataburger, as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps. They look super clean. I'm going to have to stash at least one of them for myself, but they're going to go fast. Make sure you guys swing by early and get yours. We're going to be at 305 South Powell Parkway, Anna, Texas, 75409, 305 South Powell Parkway, and that is the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. Thanks again to the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour partners. That's Whataburger, Firehouse Eating and Air, and Firehouse Movers. Really excited to get up there to Anna. I don't think we've done anything. Close we got was Frisco or Allen. Allen's probably close.
It is Allen.
So this will get us a chance to get near a lot of folks that we maybe
we don't get to touch very
yeah,
often.
That we haven't gotten to see very frequently. That's another way to say it.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? I mean,
did you miss this? Did you miss this back and forth?
I missed you guys. I missed you guys. And I learned new insults.
The liver.
Lick my liver. Boy, the fan text, Franklin injury attorney's fan text saying even Italy has given up on the Cowboys.
That hurts.
You know, I'm gonna do an Instagram video of like all. I'm gonna go into deep detail.
You should have
of
asked.
The trip. I've got everything.
You should have asked random people, just like, do you know who the Dallas Cowboys are? And they said yes. She's like, what do you think of when you think of the Cowboys? And you should have seen what Italy's impressions of the Cowboys are. All right. Ross Winchie is one of the Cowboys' national scouts. And on day three of the draft, before things got going over on the draft show, they got a chance to interview some of the scouts and some of the coaches on DallasCowboys.com and here on 105 Through the Fan. So it was Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Nick Harris, Kyle Yeomans, Tommy Arsh. They all got the chance to interview these guys. And one of them they talked to was Ross Winchie, and they were talking about this theory of taking the best player available and versus picking versus need, something that we talked about earlier. So this right here, this is the clip of Ross Winchie and Brian Broaddus talking back and forth about the idea of picking the best player available.
It was a no doubter, like stick to the board. We felt really good about the names we had up there. Obviously, we had some trade calls that we weighed. We felt good about those too. But when it was time to, it's like, why pass up players we love that we think can help us? So we took them, knowing that today we'd have to sit out 70 something picks. But we valued the players that highly enough that we're like, let's just do it.
It seemed like that when you talked about taking the players and following your board,
it's just like we're all sitting here. It's like, well, they've got to take a runner here. They got, you know, we're going on and on and on. Every student, you're kind of like saying, you know what? We don't care about our needs right now. We're just going to go draft football players. And it seems like the board really fell to you that way. You had some discussions here and there, but it just seems like you guys are drafting your board.
Yep.
And it's not bothering you one bit if you need a runner or receiver or anything like that.
No, not at all. I mean, obviously, we got some holes which we're going to fill today. We're going to try to. But, I mean, we keep operating the way we are. I don't think we're going to miss. I mean, it's like, that's part of it. And Mr. Jones and Steven obviously trust us with our evaluation process, and so does Shoddy. And when we see a blinking light, hey, you guys like them. There's a reason we liked them. Let's go get them. And we think we found three starters yesterday. So,
and not only did they find, not only did they prioritize best players available, and I think that's really good back and forth there between Brian and Ross Winchy from the Cowboys, their national scout. Not only did they find players and prioritize players at the top, it was clear they were prioritizing culture guys. Booker won the tie at pick 12 in a lot of ways because of just being an all-world individual in terms of as a leader and as a personality in the locker room and as a culture guy. Ezeraku, Donovan Ezeraku, who they took in the second round, the edge rusher, he was a captain at Boston College, considered a very high character guy. Savone Ravel, who they took in the third round, East Carolina, high character, culture guy. Like, when you look at what's going on here, and Ross said it separately in that discussion later, and then their Northeast area scout, Bo Tolliver, had said something similar, which is they both mentioned that how important Shoddy's view of culture was to what they were doing in terms of structuring their board this year. And they both mentioned how great they think the culture that Shoddy's already establishing is. I think when you hear some of the things that were coming out of this weekend, things that they were looking for, things that Shoddy would say in the press conferences, the way he was involved in the discussions that you saw, it's clear they're letting him run this the way he wants. Now, does that mean Jerry's going to go spend money on something?
All right?
Yeah, I just got something stuck. But does that mean Jerry's going
to... That's like the fourth throat clear.
Yeah, I know. You could have just like vamped for me for a little bit and let me clear my throat for a minute. But Shoddy, I think what you see is when you... Jerry, it doesn't necessarily mean Steven's going to be willing to go restructure deals to go sign somebody just because Shoddy wants him. You know, like they'll still have their rules in place like any team does for their financial parameters. But in terms of within the bounds of, hey, what you want, Shoddy, will matter to us and will be the decisions we make. That, I think, is pretty clear after this weekend and throughout this entire offseason. Shoddy's got a big hand in it from the coaching staff that he picked up through the players that he's gotten here already.
Yeah, look, if as you can go ahead and
I'm good now.
Get that hairball out of there. If you did it for Jason and Wade and Mike and Bill in terms of letting them get control, then you got to do it here. What my issue would be is if, you know, they were inconsistent with how they allowed coaches to have power.
Yeah, I think post Campo, Parcells
changed a lot.
Parcells on, I think they've been willing to, I think they recognize we can't operate that way. And I think they're going to extend that to Shoddy.
Now, even with Bill, you know, they did override Bill. I mean, Bill wanted Spears over Ware, right?
Sure.
Or no, he was Merriman. Yeah. So they talked him in. No, dude, Spears will be there.
Yeah, and that was also a group decision still at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Bill was trying to run counter to what the group had decided, which is Ware was above. And so that was kind of how that had, it still was the structure ultimately that led to it. But I do think it's clear a lot of what Shoddy wants to have in place is what's going into effect now. Now let's take a look at some of the guys that they took this weekend. We're going to start with Donovan Ezeraku, the edge rusher from Boston College. Lance Zierlein compared him to Yannick Ngakoue, and I'm stealing that. That's exactly who he's... Once I read that from Zierlein, I was like, that's it. That nailed that. That's exactly who he reminds me of. This is a guy who... Little undersized, he's like 6'2", 248, so kind of stout, but not very long. But he's got really long arms, just not very tall. He knows how to use his length, his quickness. He's got really surprising power, the speed to power, the way he wins consistently. I mean, he wins most of his reps as a pass rusher. And the play is not over once a tackle gets his hands on him. So, you know, typically see, all right, tackle locks in, they got their bear paws on him, you're not moving anywhere. He routinely will flip pass rush reps from losses to victories like that, where it looks like he's locked in and he shakes it and is able to get to the quarterback. Really impressive bend when turning the corner or slipping the punch of the offensive tackles. He runs a really tight arc to the quarterback for quick sacks. The tendency to try to dip under the tackle, though, does cause him to lose the edge at times. So he's trying. He's a little bit smaller guy, so he tries to quickly like dip under him or do like a little Euro step inside move, something like that. He will then, in that pursuit and that aggressiveness, occasionally lose the edge. So if it's an RPO,
right,
where you're getting gashed for a big gain there. So works really hard in the run game, plays with a high motor, isn't always assignment sound in the run game. Sometimes, like I said, loses the edge. But otherwise, you got a guy who is legitimately able to project, I think, as, yeah, at some point during his rookie contract, that's a double-digit sack guy. And you were able to get him at 44, which is, I think, massive for them.
That's really good.
All right, let's take a look at Savone Revelle. And he's the corner out of Eastern Carolina. And Aiden has some of the film up there if you're watching on the fan cam. But he's a guy who he checks all the boxes from the height, weight, speed standpoint at the position. He has size, knows how to properly use his length when he's in press man coverage. He also has really good eye discipline to have success in zone coverage. So he's really multifaceted. He's physical. He embraces physicality. He routinely fights back to the ball and run support or after the catch. He does have some Cheeto moments where he doesn't get his head turned around or he's not looking for the ball. Or, you know, that's an issue for him at times. He's not a perfect technician at the position, but he's got a really strong skill set. And you see year over year improvements with his technique while he was at East Carolina. So I think that that's big. I think the guy I got asked about the most this weekend was Jaden Blue, because that felt like a position running back where what are they going to do there? So we'll lead off first with, and you'll see some of this on the fan cam, some of the inside runs that he has. Jaden Blue from Texas, he's 5'9", he's a little under 200 pounds, really fast guy, 4.3 speed, really good receiver. Jaden Blue is a little bit of a, you'd like to see him be able to take it to the outside or bounce it outside a little more frequently than he does. He generally, it feels like, prefers to kind of stay between the tackles. He does seem to run to contact or settle for contact a little too frequently, which is a little bit frustrating. But I think that you see a guy who shows some pretty decent patience, some good foot quickness, has speed. And the other aspect of this that I like, especially for a guy who does tend to run into some contact from time to time, and this will be the second clip that we have, his contact balance is really impressive. Like, he very rarely goes down on first contact, very rarely goes down on ankle tackles and trips. He is really good at staying on his feet and turning what looks like a negative play when somebody bursts through this line of scrimmage, being able to take that negative play and turn it into even 2 yards or three, just something that's positive, and be able to get something out of nothing.
Was there a clear gap between him and Quintrevion at Texas?
Yeah, I mean, Texas has a stacked running back room and did have a stacked running back room, so that was a problem. But I mean, guys were always hurt, so there was a rotation.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that he was not their best running back on the roster anytime while he was there, but he's really, really good. They were loaded. I mean,
you're going to be good. When you play at Texas, you're going to be good.
They had this image from over the weekend of all the Texas running backs from 2 years ago sitting on the bench, and like six of them are in the NFL now. And so, I mean, it was a stacked room. Here's the one thing that I will say. Broadus joined us at 7:20, and he talked about him as a pass catcher, and I referenced some of the concentration drops or some of the times he doesn't finish. Jaden Blue does have some issues, and I grabbed a couple clips of it. Jaden Blue does have a couple issues with focus drops, trying to get upfield too quickly, maybe not finishing a catch. Sometimes stuff will bounce off his hands. He's a really good receiver. He's a really good threat. But, I mean, there are still some instances, I think, where he's so aggressive and wanting to get upfield that he just doesn't finish the catch all the way through. Big-time mismatch. You can put him in the slot, and he can run routes. You can, like Brian said, run Texas routes, which are the kind of the angle routes there. You can run him on, seam routes. He can legitimately run NFL routes as a receiver. It's just, I think at times the focus hasn't always been there, and he is a smaller guy. I think sometimes he does hear the footsteps, hear the contact, and doesn't finish all the way through the catch, but he's a really solid runner. He was a fourth round player to me, and I think he's absolutely going to start games for you this year and will be part of whatever committee you have. He will be a big part of that committee splitting carries.
B-Low.
D-Belt.
Right here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. 9 o'clock hour coming up next. We'll have crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. Did the Cowboys fall further behind the top of the NFC over the weekend, or did they catch up? And we get you set for Stars, Avs tonight. Sean and RJ, 9 o'clock hour next to The Fan.